Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood on the Eshcast.
On Tuesday, the J-pop and alternative hotspot hits your eardrums on No Borders, No Race.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, with the live issues program's post-episode recaps on live right after your favorite shows and taking all of your questions.
It's going down each week, only in the land of Ash. Nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and On Mystery Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your host, King Baby Duck, and joining me today are my great friends from Wicked Anime, Andrew and Jonathan Fleming.
Yo!
Yo! How are your Christmas preparations going?
Good. I'm getting over a cold, and I have not even started writing a Christmas list for people.
Really? Wow. That's a little bit different. Now for our listeners, I don't know if your listeners know this as well, but I know that you two enjoy taking in that festive holiday spirit by dressing up as the Krampus and going to malls, finding misbehaved children and putting them in the sack and smacking them.
Yes, burlap is the industry is really benefited by us every year.
Absolutely.
Yes, I love doing that.
Can I just say how happy I am that the Krampus is finally getting some Christmas love this year?
Yeah, some well-deserved Christmas love. Although last year they did a pretty okay job. Was it last year or 2 years ago when the Aquabat Super Show did
it? It was 2 years ago because it was last year when they put it onto YouTube.
Right, yeah. Okay, so, I mean, the Krampus has been a mythical creature that has recently come back into focus.
Right.
Which is, I think, pretty awesome.
Now, people don't realize that it's still, that even though that was a great episode of the Aquabats, it was still kind of misinterpreted because the Krampus really isn't a bad guy. He's out to actually get the bad children.
Yeah, the idea of the Krampus is that bad children should still be punished when they're bad on Christmas.
Right. So for people that are probably going to be going to see this Krampus movie that just came out, they have to go into it knowing that the Krampus is the good guy in the film.
Right. Yeah, everybody in the house who the Krampus is going after, it seems like a pretty terrible family.
Yeah, they're spoiled.
Exactly. So they get their just desserts.
And I was rather confused at the fact that this movie's going to be PG-13.
Yeah, it's a PG-13 horror movie with a bunch of comedy actors.
You see, I bet you that this isn't what the trailer's telling you. I bet you it's going to be more of a horror comedy.
Actual
just plain-based horror. Because you got, like, David Kushner, I think you got Adam Baldwin, you got some really talented comedic actors in this film.
Got Adam Scott.
Yeah,
Adam Scott.
That's what I meant to say. Adam Scott. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
So you got these really comedic actors in there that are taking place in this horror film. They're probably not telling you that it is going to be a comedy.
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. And I honestly don't project seeing this film doing that well in theaters.
Which is a shame, because it does look like it should. Like, more people should be seeing this film, because it's original. No one's ever done a horror comedy film based on the Krampus.
Yeah, I would definitely like to see it.
Yeah, I would like to see it, too. But not only is that playing in the theaters, like, we've got this whole holiday season upon us. And, you know, right now, some of the best Christmas specials are airing on TV. You got the Rudolph, you got the Frosty, you've got Charlie Brown Christmas. And you know what? You've also got what I'm pretty sure is Andrew's all-time favorite holiday classic, An Elf in Lead Christmas. God, Lucy, you massacred everyone in this building! Wait a sec, the red blood matches perfectly with this green tinsel! It's a Christmas miracle!
Oh yeah, I love that one.
You know what I'm looking forward to is the One Punch Man Christmas.
Yeah.
I actually have the. Let me look through the TV guide here. It says right here, after Saitama accidentally punches Santa, it's up to him and Genos to travel all over the world and deliver presents while learning the true meaning of the holiday spirit. Which leads me to ask, since he punches Santa, does that mean he kills him?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the idea. Well, he's accidentally taps people and they haven't died.
Well, it sounds like he may think there's an intruder in his house, so he punches him and he may turn on the light and look, oh no, he just killed Santa.
Well, regardless, I'm going to be watching it.
Yep. You know, just so long as Tim Allen isn't involved with this Santa killing, I think it'll be okay. Although, let me be clear with our listeners. The Home Improvement era of Tim Allen is awesome. The Last Man Standing era of Tim Allen, not so much.
Yeah, when he turned in from that alcoholic cocaine-toting guy into the alcoholic cocaine-toting old guy, it was just not as good.
No, it was not as good. All right, so here's a real question. What are some of your favorite Christmas-themed anime episodes?
I only know of one, really, that I could say, and I would have to say that it's definitely the Christmas episode of Big O.
Oh my god, I forgot about that one. Is it Roger who tries to get a gift for Dorothy, or is it Dorothy trying to get a gift for Roger?
Oh man, I don't remember.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think
I just remember it was based around the guy, the saxophone player.
Yes, the saxophone player.
Well, you always have episode 25 of Love Hina as well.
Yep, the Love Hina Christmas special. That's actually a really good one. I still have that in my collection. The Lupin the Third episode, 'Twas the Slight Before Christmas, where the Lupin and the gang steal the oldest bottle of wine that is to be served for Christmas at the White House. That's a really funny one as well. And you know, last year there was actually I know you guys know I love this show, Kukule Kukuli-san. They did this, the season finale of it was a Christmas themed one where Kukuli-san and Kohina helped a father celebrate a memorable Christmas with his younger daughter. And I thought that the writing in that specific episode was just superb because it really had a bit of a sad ending, but yet it still carried that comedic charm that the whole series had.
Right. Yeah, the writing in that show is impressive.
No, yeah, absolutely. So how about this? How about we ask our listeners to write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com, and why don't we have them tell us about their favorite anime-themed Christmas episodes?
Cool. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, so listeners, tell us about your favorite Christmas episodes of Japanese anime, and tell us why it's so memorable to you. And while you think about that, we're going to start on this week's playlist. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official site, and your local record store. Although, heed this warning, some of these songs I'm going to be playing are from out-of-print releases, so it may be hard to find them. And today, we're going to spin some holiday festive music. Doesn't that sound like fun, brothers?
Absolutely. Yay.
Yay. So we're going to start off with a group known as Doko, which, if anime fans know their music trivia, is the female seiyuu troupe made up of Megumi Hayashibara, Norika Hidaka, Kikyo Inoue, Minami Takayama, and Rei Sakuma.
And Mariah Carey. Right?
No.
That's the one?
No, not Mariah Carey. No. Oh. Although, do you two know which anime I'm talking about that they all voiced in?
No.
Ranma 1/2. So this song comes off of the Ranma 1/2 Complete Vocal Collection Volume 2, and it's called Kyoko Tadashi Christmas.
knew just this was Christmas Eve. The bill was and he wanted to the place of silver bells. And the temperature is 84 degrees. I remember Christmas Eve when I was just a girl. In the morning I would run to see the tree. And the carols on the hills, I sang their songs of Christmas joy. Well, I always thought they sang them just for me. Now around the Rockies, you can feel it in the air. From Taylor Light to Border down below. Now the girls, they sing to heaven on this planet anywhere. It's a quiet Christmas morning in the Colorado snow. I can hear the traffic on the crowded street below. As a family folk, they have a boy passing.
With Colorado Christmas coming off of their Christmas Everywhere album. You gotta love that cute ukulele playing duo. You just can't help but like two cute girls playing ukulele. Isn't that correct?
Yes, that is very correct.
Very, very correct. So, this past week, Cartoon Network gave us a bit of an early Christmas present.
Yeah, actually, as a matter of fact, too, it was Adult Swim.
Adult Swim gave us an early Christmas present in the form of the return of one of the best cartoons that they ever aired, Samurai Jack.
Yeah, and one of the best animation directors, too.
Dendy Tartovsky.
Yeah, Dendy Tartovsky. Yeah, oh my gosh. Like, he hasn't really put out a bad show. Yeah, that I can think of.
See, no.
Did they announce that whether or not this portion of Samurai Jack was in fact Gendy's work?
Yep, he said he's still the creator and he's still the executive producer of it.
Awesome.
So he's back in the helm of it, and I cannot describe how happy I am because, you know, the original show ended on such a cliffhanger. Jack never got home and the story was left to one too many interpretations. And although we did get that comic book adaptation, it wasn't the same as watching Jack in action in all of its beauty.
Yeah. See, now I'm curious now that it's on Adult Swim, is he going to kill more than just robots?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's my first thought always.
Well, recall, there were some pretty gruesome episodes for a family show at the time.
Yeah.
But what I loved about Samurai Jack was there were even episodes where there was barely any dialogue, just some impressive action. But yet at the same time, they did it in such a way that you just couldn't help but look away, no matter how old you were. It was just so amazing to see a show like this in its existence.
Yeah, almost every episode of Samurai Jack was good.
It was cool.
Yeah. It was beyond cool. Like,
I remember the first time we ever saw Samurai Jack. We were young, and we were at like an event at our church. I can't remember where, but our grandpa took us home early so that we could watch the hour and a half premiere of Samurai Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we watched it with our grandpa, and we all thought it was super cool.
Yeah, we were like begging him to we were like, we need to see Samurai Jack. We were really young at the time. I forget when it started. Yeah,
It started in 2001. I was 16, so you guys were probably 11.
Yeah, we were 11.
Wow. It makes me feel old saying that. But I loved that 90-minute episode. What was so cool about Samurai Jack was that they threw in so many homages and nods to so many other great anime series in the past. Like, there was that Totoro nod in Jack and the Creature, the Lone Wolf and Cub cameo in Jack Remembers the Past, the thief in Jack in the Labyrinth that looked like Jigen from Lupin the Third. And I don't know if you quite remember this one. They even paid tribute to Frank Miller's 300 in Jack and the Spartans, many years before Gerard Butler took on the role and started kicking people down holes.
Wow, you have a pretty good memory.
Yeah, I know, seriously.
That's how good of a show that was. There's like nothing that you can... There's everything about that show stood in your mind. Yeah. Especially when it came to Aku, who was played by the late, great Mako.
Yes. He was so amazing in that role.
Yeah, people have been begging for Samurai Jack to come back.
Like, for years.
Yeah, ever since it got canceled, like, people just have been all over the fact that Samurai Jack is gone.
So here's my question. What do you think it was that made the made Cartoon Network or Adult Swim go, all right, they've waited long enough, I think it's time we bring them back?
The fans. I really do. I really think it was the fans. I have no idea.
Because it feels like it's like... fandoms are helping to really bring back old classic shows. I mean, look how successful this whole Kickstarter with Mystery Science Theater 3000 has been because the fans have been wanting to see it come back.
Yeah, Five Iron Frenzy, too.
Five Iron Frenzy, that's another good example.
And just recently this week, Psychonauts 2.
Yeah. Psychonauts 2, yes. This has been a good year for the return of some lovable properties. And speaking of Psychonauts 2, Tim Schafer has already stated that if Psychonauts 2 is successful, he's going to be working on bringing back Brutal Legend.
Oh, awesome. Man. That man gets me to play video games again. Seriously.
No, he does. So what I like about Tim Schafer is he knows how to feel out a crowd as to what could work as a video game, what can't work as a video game. This is why he does the whole crowdfunding thing, because that way he knows what would people pay money to play.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think he's just he's probably one of the best game designers in the world.
I would agree.
I totally agree. But with Samurai Jack, what do you think they could do with Samurai Jack now that it's going to be moving to Adult Swim instead of being played on Cartoon Network? Are we going to be expecting something more gritty?
Yes.
I don't see. You say yes. I kind of said that, is he going to cut more than just robots as a joke? Because I think no. I think it's going to be the same Samurai Jack, just on a different network. Because
I don't know. That trailer that they showed, that like 5 to 10 second trailer that they showed with, you know, the samurai character, it didn't look like Jack, who was wearing some sort of headdress, swinging his sword, and then the shadow of a coup comes up behind him. Just such an ominous feeling came off of that trailer.
So you're thinking that another samurai may come in and take over, or do you think Jack is going to find another adversary?
I honestly have absolutely no idea. I don't know.
Like, I think Jack will still be in it because Phil Lamar is still toting around, you know, that he is Jack. You see him at conventions and he's just like, yeah, I'm Samurai Jack.
It just didn't have that hip-hop vibe that we're used to from Samurai Jack. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like Samurai Jack had this really interesting hip-hop vibe, and it just seems like this trailer didn't have that.
So, I don't know. It's...
Well, if you think about it, like, when Samurai Jack first started, we were talking about the 90-minute premiere, that it had that traditional Japanese vibe to it. Perhaps this is hinting on the origin of Jack, and then it's going to jump back into the whole hip-hop sort of thing that we've come to know and love about Samurai Jack.
Maybe.
So here's my question now, too. Now that this is coming back, is this like a good sign that other Cartoon Network shows could make a return in this form?
Oh, I hope so.
Could you imagine if like, all the rest of the cartoon shows came back in Adult Swim?
I would love to see Johnny Bravo come back.
Well, yeah. Well, considering that Seth MacFarlane was one of the big writers on Johnny Bravo, that may not happen because of his involvement with Family Guy, American Dad, and all the other Seth MacFarlane things out there.
Not if it's on Adult Swim.
That is true. You know, that could convince him to come back.
It's true, and a TV show coming back with a lot less Seth MacFarlane might be really great.
Yeah, that might be beneficial anyways. Burn.
How about this? What if this was like the place where Megas XLR came back?
Oh. Well, in the same respect to that, I know Gendy has always regretted that Symbionic Titan never got off the ground.
That too. Symbionic Titan was such a great show. I don't know if you two know Cyborg 009. That was such a big homage to that creator's sort of visual style. And I thought they did such a great job with that series.
Right.
And who knows, maybe that could be another way for Symbionic Titan to come back. And that, again, that had such a great cast, especially, oh my God, I can't believe I'm blanking on their name right now. He played the robot on Symbionic Titan.
Brian Posehn.
Like, anything that I hear Brian Posehn's voice in, like, I know it's going to be a good show.
Down, Stogie, down.
So, I'm, like, super stoked about Samurai Jack coming back. Like, I'm hoping to see what sort of envelopes are going to be pushed now that it's going to be on this Adult Swim incarnation of Toonami. I mean, who knows? I mean, considering that Samurai Jack is such a worldwide love, he could be bringing in like famous Japanese directors to help come and direct some of these episodes.
Yeah. Ooh. Wouldn't that be amazing?
I mean, look at what Adventure Time did with the director of Ping Pong and Mind Game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fell off of Adventure Time, unfortunately.
Oh, you did?
Well, not on purpose, because of college.
Right. But
we need to catch up.
I mean, can you imagine if they were to get someone like Shinichiro Watanabe to come in and direct an episode of Samurai Jack?
Takashi Miike.
Yes, I forgot. He did direct the anime episode of Ichi the Killer number 0, right?
I have no idea.
But it's so crazy. Like, just because Samurai Jack has been so loved and it's been missed by so many people across the globe, that the fact that this is coming back in this form, it's feels good. Like, oh, yeah. From a nostalgic point of view, something that was so good from our childhood is coming back, and the original people behind it are coming back. And again, it brings me back to talking about seeing Mystery Science Theater 3000 returning with the original creators at the helm.
Yep.
I mean, I'm speechless seeing these things from when I was younger returning in this form. And it's not going to be some sort of like watered down, someone else is taking control of it. It's the original people saying, it's time we brought them back.
Yep,
absolutely.
So we talked about Megas XLR. We talked about Symbionic Titan. What's one other show you would like to see Cartoon Network bring back, also besides Johnny Bravo?
Man. That's such a loaded question. Can we still say the original Teen Titans?
You see, and I know they made a joke about that on the Teen Titans Go show, but I would love to see them return to form with the original Teen Titans series, and then also have the Teen Titans Go as the as the comedic aspect of it. Yeah. But maybe put Teen Titans, because when Teen Titans was airing, I thought it would be awesome to see an Adult Swim version of Teen Titans.
Yeah, because that's most certainly what the comic books were.
It was all pretty violent.
it was violent. And even though it did have its comedic aspects of it, it was still a very mature story, and they did a great job with it.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. That was one of the things that led us to where we are today. So that's for sure one of them. But I don't know. We grew up with Ed, Edd n Eddy. We loved Ed, Edd n Eddy. Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends was also amazing.
Right.
Like, the era of cartoons that we had growing up on Cartoon Network were just so far superior to the ones that they have today. And anything would be a good move, honestly.
Yeah. Although, don't get me, I love Amazing World of Gumball. I do too. I love Adventure Time. I love Regular Show. I don't know about you, but when I watch Regular Show, I get a huge Mighty Boosh vibe from it.
That's very true, actually. Yeah. I've never thought of it like that.
Really? Not even when Mordecai and Rigby are doing the crimps?
Oh man, I don't know. Again, falling off of cartoons.
Okay. But what we're saying is, while we do like what Cartoon Network currently offers in there, although I don't like Clarence. For some reason, Clarence never really vibed with me.
Clarence is pretty awful.
Yeah, okay. Alright, good. So it's not just me.
Although, I actually did see a pilot for a show on Amazon Prime. What was it called? It was from the same guy. There was like this fox girl who lived in this world where there are all these magical beings, and she's just a regular fox, and she doesn't have any magical powers, so she gets around by common means, and like one of her allies is a gummy bear, and then there's a pig. You know, I forget what it's called, but it was really good, and it was made by the same guy who did Clarence, I think, or at least the same creative team. But it was so good.
Okay, cool. Maybe I should look that up. But for me, with Samurai Jack and even with Teen Titans 2, what was so good about both of those shows is that it really introduced people to anime, or even just the anime style.
Yeah, that's actually kind of not how we were introduced. We were familiar with anime, but how we kind of got into it more.
And I know a lot of people where that happened with, because Samurai Jack was seen as a gateway to Japanese animation, to like the old school Lone Wolf and Cub. And it got more people to tune into Toonami and watch like Tenchi Muyo and Outlaw Star and Dragon Ball Z and Sailor Moon and Ronin Warriors especially. And then with Teen Titans, I don't know if you ever read any like the behind the scenes stuff, but with Teen Titans, everybody that was on the team, even if they were the smallest like animator, they were instructed to watch all 6 episodes of Fooly Cooly before they even started working on the show.
Nice. It makes sense, especially because they had a Fooly Cooly inspired episode.
Right, with the Vespa.
Yep.
The reason why that I'm excited, and I'm sure that you two are excited as well, not just because we're getting more Simon Jack, is because it was such an amazing gateway to the world of anime that we all love.
Yes.
2016 cannot come any sooner. I am really looking forward to this new Samurai Jack. I think we are going to be in for one hell of a treat.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Just cannot wait.
I cannot wait. And thank you, Adult Swim, for that early Christmas present. And as it is Christmas, I feel like it must be incredibly important that we spin this man next, because whenever you think of the holidays and the spirit that it brings, you cannot help but think of this man's gigantic pearly white grin. He's always so jolly and has been quite the role model to boys and girls everywhere since the 1970s. I'm talking, of course, about Alice Cooper.
Nice.
Yes. Accompanied by John Five, Billy Sheehan, and Vinny Appice, this song comes off of We Wish You a Metal Christmas compilation album, and it's that holiday classic known as Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Amazing. I listened to this over the work week.
Oh, nice.
S-A-N-T-A-C-L-A-W-S. Santa Claus. Out. You better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Oh, he's making a list, checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. So you better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Your town. He knows where you live. He knows that your window's open. He knows what lives under your bed. Toy drums, Rudy Toot Toot and Rummy Tum Tums. Santa Claus is coming to town. Little toy dolls that cuddle and coo. Elephants, bears that puddle and poo. Santa Claus is coming to town. The kids in girl and boy land will have a jubilee. They're gonna build a toyland town all around the Christmas tree. And then they're gonna burn it down. You better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming. Santa Claus is coming. Santa Claus is coming to town. We're gonna break all the toys. And then we're gonna make some noise. We're gonna party all night long. We're gonna sing this song. Gonna party all night long. We're gonna sing this song. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Yeah. Merry Christmas to you. Happy all for five more walls to go. Keep on hushing.
Happy 45 Christmas from her holiday EP Shining on December 16th. She'll be releasing her 11th album, Shine. So if you have a good importer who can send it to you before the holidays, be sure to stick that one in your friend's stocking. Now, Christmas may not have arrived yet, but there's always one thing that people are just about prepared for after the festive season is over, and that is the post-Christmas diet.
Yeah. Ha. Losing all that holiday weight.
Yep. And, you know,
I don't have to because I have a high metabolism.
Yay. I think I still do, too. But anyways, as anime fans and reviewers, we find it difficult as it is trying to find a daily routine in our tight schedules. That's why we're fortunate enough that a new anime this fall has appeared that combines the healthy need to exercise with the healthy need to look at girls at promiscuous angles, and that is Anime The Training X, where anime girlfriends show you how to exercise properly.
Oh my gosh, this show.
Okay, I've actually been following the show since the very beginning. Like, when it premiered, I've been watching every episode. Mm-hmm. And every single time I watch an episode, my initial reaction is, this is so stupid. but I can't stop watching it. Like, and I think it's because it doesn't waste my time. Like, if it was even a 7-minute episode, I would be like, this is so stupid, I'm not gonna watch this. But because it's only like 3 minutes long, I'm just like, this is so stupid, I might as well, you know?
I might as well experience the stupidness.
Can we first say this is still like a far better concept than that weird love pillow anime that came out this summer?
I'm not familiar.
Pandalicious from Electric System was telling about it. It's basically love pillows that come to life. They're boy love pillows, so none of the three of us watched that.
Yeah, but this show is so weird. I end up watching it like when I'm on break at work, and I always have to make sure that nobody's ever going to be around when I'm watching it, because if anybody ever saw me watching it, it would just be complete and total shame.
This is my secret shame. No one will know that I'm watching such a promiscuous anime right now.
And it's not even really that promiscuous. There's nothing hypersexualized about it. Well, maybe a little bit.
Like I said, like the angles that they show from time to time.
Oh, heck yeah.
It's just moe. Like, it's moe as hell. Like, that's all it is.
It really is. And, like, I can't figure this show out, like why it exists. Because it's too short to actually go through an actual whole workout thing.
Right. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because the main character, the little brown-haired girl.
Yep.
Yep.
She's been a part of a series of movies that are the same thing. I forget her name, because, I mean, who cares? but the series was her name, and then, like, takes a bath, or goes to sleep, or
That's now I know where I've seen her from, because yes. It was that creepy anime where the cute anime girl sleeps next to you while you sleep.
Well, her like doing mundane routine tasks, like going getting ready for bed or getting ready to take a bath and taking a bath, mm-hmm. and now exercising.
The bath one sounds like hentai.
No, it's not, and it's weird because she has like an even younger sister, I guess, and like it's like take a bath together, woohoo! Like there's no nudity in it, there's no nothing. It's just, it's literally. I don't know if it's what its base is, like if it's for children to like explain to them how you do these things, or
like, I'm pretty sure the main audience of it aren't children.
I'm pretty sure you can find these on J List.
I'm not a pervert. I'm
two J List
Turbo Man doll.
J-list.
You know, the girls seem to get real sweaty after such quick workouts too. Did you notice that?
Yes.
That, I think they're really, really out of shape, and you just really can't tell.
Yeah, there's just some form of eroticism behind it that is what it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But it's like, an interesting concept.
Percentage of viewers do you think actually follow along with the exercises?
Probably like 0.
Yeah, probably 0%.
That's what I'm thinking too.
I mean, never mind. I'm not even going to say that joke. It's too easy.
It's too easy. Or
is it too hard?
Yeah! Can you explain to me what was up with the horrible CGI dancing in episode 5?
Oh my gosh, that episode really frustrated me. Because, like, I don't know why they decided to count in English. And I don't know why they decided to use CG, because in the 7th episode they did the same dance thing, and
it was actually the 8th episode.
Was it? And even still, they didn't use it.
Right, and they didn't use it. So why did they use it in the first place? And why didn't they hire someone like Tomsoff, who does like the Senran Kagura games, who know how to do like CGI looking anime much better than most mainstream anime companies seem to be able to?
Yeah, I really don't know. And like I just cannot for the life of me figure out why the show exists.
I can't figure out why a show like this exists either. I mean, there's a part of me that knows why. But right. At the same time, it doesn't know why. Like, so we know what the demographic is for the show.
Yeah.
But I know that that said demographic watches probably something totally different to get their fix on, and not this show.
Yeah. So who's your favorite workout girl?
Ha! Mine? I think it's Shiro, the really dark mystic arts one.
Oh, me too. only because she adds this depth of character that is really, you know, different than the rest of the show.
It's still moe, but it's a different kind of moe.
And it's evil moe.
Especially because, like, that first episode that she was in, like, she had the wrong eye capsule in, and she's like, oh no.
Yeah, that was funny. But, I mean, then there's other girls in the show where they give them a purpose as to why they're doing certain workouts. Like, in the second episode, there was that blonde girl who was like, oh, I want a bigger chest, so I'm going to do chest exercises.
Right, you know? The main girl is like, I need to look trimmer when I go out in my swimsuit, and I want to, so that's why I'm exercising here.
Yeah, and then they show her imagining herself in a swimsuit.
They did the same thing with the blonde girl in the episode, too, though.
Yeah, I know, and that's... You know, just that's the whole reason behind it, and that's kind of why I wonder what is the point of this show. You know, it's only 3 minutes long, you know, and there's just I don't know.
I don't know why this show even exists. We don't know why this show exists, because I know if people want a quick fix, they'll probably watch something like Komori-san Can't Decline.
Oh, that show is so good.
Exactly. I mean, you can get such good story development out of a 3 minute show. I mean, a minute and a half of content.
I've been watching Hakone-chan too.
What's Hakone-chan?
That's the one where the hot spring spirit comes out of, like, it manifests herself, and I don't know how to explain it, really. That's the basic premise, is there's a hot spring spirit who manifests herself to a high school boy, and he owns the hot spring, or his parents do. It's interesting. You just kind of have to watch it, because there's no real story as of right now. Other than this hot spring spirit is trying to gain her power back.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been watching that one.
Okay, because we were for our listeners who are like we're jumping from Anime to Training X, and we didn't really touch on what Komori-san Can't Decline is about. And it's basically this really tall little high school student, and she basically is asked to do everything under the sun, and she's always wanting to be very helpful, despite the fact that there's another student there who also wants to be helpful but doesn't get asked because he's so short compared to her, and probably compared to everybody else on the show.
Yeah, and that show, you know, it was very slow starting because you only had 2 minutes to watch, you know, a story develop, and you can't really get story in that amount of time.
Right.
So it took a really long time, especially when you're waiting from week to week. Mm-hmm. But now it's getting into the meat of the story, or what little story they're able to put in, and it's actually very good.
No, I really enjoy it. Like it's a quick 2 minute show. It helps pass the time quickly, and it's very entertaining. And I believe it's from the same guy who does I Can't Understand What My Husband Is Saying.
Yeah, which was an amazing short show.
No, they did a great job with that as well.
So funny.
Yeah.
Very funny. So, do we recommend Anime the Training X for our viewers? Like, how do you, we don't know why it exists. We don't know if it's any good.
If you leave your shame behind, sure.
Yeah, I say that if you got a Crunchyroll account, why not? It's only like 2 minutes of your time.
Yeah, you won't waste your time.
You're going to know within, like, even before the first episode ends whether or not you're going to want to watch the rest of it or not. Because, you know, if you watch a girl, or watching an anime girl do 10 reps of one exercise and then move on to a second one, and if you're like, okay, if this is that's all the show is. That's all it is. Is if you can't watch a looping animation of a girl doing exercise and she counts to 10, you know, then it's not for you.
That's actually a good reason why you should or shouldn't watch the show. So, for our listeners, go to crunchyroll.com and look up Anime the Training X. And if you like the first episode, keep on watching it. If you don't like the first episode, then probably watch one of the other episodes. Watch Komori-san Can't Decline then instead.
Yeah. This is the season of short animes.
This is the season of short animes. Short good animes.
Yeah.
And thankfully, we don't have another pupa in our hands.
Disappointing.
Yeah, disappointing indeed. So, for Animated Training X, probably not the best thing for post-Christmas diets. Join a gym, join like Planet Fitness or something like that if you really want to get rid of it, because Animated Training X will not get that beer belly out of you.
Not in 2 minutes, anyways.
Not in 2 minutes. Maybe if you watch it on repeat over and over again, and nobody is watching you while you watch it on repeat over and over again.
Yeah.
All right. So, let's jump back into our holiday playlist. Here now are L'Arc en Ciel with a holiday gem from their 2007 album, Kiss. This is Hurry Christmas. Yeah.
children from the Wu-Tang Clan. Feed the world. Let them know it's Christmas time.
It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish shade.
We can spread a smile of joy. Throw your arms around the world at Christmas time.
But say a prayer. Pray for the other ones at Christmas time. It's hard.
Of course, one of my all-time favorite punk bands, Fucked Up, with their rendition of that Band-Aid hit, Do They Know It's Christmas Time, from the David's Plan single. This version features contributions from Are You Ready, Fleming Brothers?
Uh-huh.
Andrew W.K.
Yeah.
Bob Mould, I don't know who that is. David Cross from Mr. Show.
Yes.
Ezra Cohen from Vampire Weekend.
Okay.
The Jizza from Wu-Tang Clan. Kevin Drew, I don't know who that is. Kit Malone, I don't know who that is. Tegan and Sarah. And Yola Tango. I honestly don't know who that is. That's a band I've seen pop up from time to time, but I figured I'd give that a shot and see if you knew who that was.
But no. Andrew W.K.
Yes, but Andrew W.K. Now, for our listeners, if you buy the 7-inch single of this record All the proceeds from it go towards the Missing Justice in Montreal, which helps families of missing and murdered Canadian Aboriginal women, and the Power of Women group in Vancouver. So it all goes to a good cause if you buy that record.
Wow.
Our final thing for this episode is holiday gift suggestions. And if you go to electricsisterhood.com/tag/holiday-guide-2015, you can find all the suggestions that I've had and some of the rest of the Esh writers for gifts to give this holiday season. I've, of course, listed so far Yo-Kai Watch for the Nintendo 3DS, the card game Channel A, the anime No Game No Life, and the 7-vinyled comedy album I'm Sorry, You're Welcome by Eugene Merman. What do you think of those as gift ideas?
They sound pretty good.
Those sound awesome. I mean, we play Channel A all the time, and what was the one after Channel A?
No Game, No Life.
No Game, No Life. That was like one of my favorite series from that entire year, maybe. I still gotta watch it.
Yep. So, let me ask you, Fleming Brothers, for our listeners, what are some great holiday gift ideas that that they should look into getting for their friends and family?
Oh, well, we've got some over here right on nerdyshow.com.
Yeah.
Really?
Nerdy Show Awesome Nerdy Gift Guide 2015 edition. We have a whole bunch of things that you get. We there are Nintendo 3DS games.
Yeah, Monster Hunter 4 for anybody out there. Hello.
Yeah. Yep. We had some awesome video games come out this year. If nobody has gotten Fallout 4 yet,
hey, go buy Fallout 4 for Christmas.
Do.
Yes.
TV shows that are coming out on DVD, like Over the Garden Wall, and also Avatar The Last Airbender, the complete DVD series for only $40.
Is that Blu-ray or DVD?
I believe it is DVD.
Okay.
But even regardless, it is amazing.
And, of course, Mad Max on Blu-ray.
You can get Mad Max, Big Hero 6, Aladdin Diamond Edition.
Yeah, just pick specifically. Yeah, just don't go through the whole list. Just
Why did someone pick Tomorrowland?
Why, indeed.
Yes, I agree. I saw that on the list. And I was like, ooh.
I don't think they actually watched it. how about Rick and Morty Volume 1?
Oh, absolutely. You know what I just read? I think that people should really pick up for comic books is Miss Marvel. I talked about it on my show last week. It's a really cool, interesting premise and like a nice little like alternate telling of the Miss Marvel superhero character. And I don't want to really go into it because I already talked about it on last week's show, but definitely go check that out. I think you'd be pleasantly surprised by it.
Nice. Yeah, and I think that my number one pick for the holiday gift guide is something that I'll probably be seeking out sometime eventually in my future is the cat ear headphones.
Yep,
that were
those look so awesome. I know some friends that have bought them. I know some people that did the crowdfunding aspect of it and are really enjoying it. Like, what I love about it is not just the design, but the whole outer speaker aspect of it, because you know it's one of those things where you're hearing a song and you're like, God, I wish more people were hearing this as I'm listening to it, and be like, oh wait, now I can click.
Yeah, it's a brilliant idea.
It's a very brilliant idea. Just walking down like downtown Salem playing some Rammstein because I want more people to be listening to Rammstein.
Yeah.
Are there things on here on this list that haven't made it onto your personal gift suggestion list for Nerdy Show?
No, because we actually made some contributions to this list, so most of those are absolutely correct and absolutely agree. Though I have most of them already. We already have Mad Max on Blu-ray. We already have Fallout 4. We already have Monster Hunter 4.
No.
Serious. Monster Hunter weekends. Third weekend of every month.
Man, it's been so hard to buy for me for Christmas. I like seriously don't want people to buy me things anymore.
You know what? I feel like that the same way on my end, because I basically don't need anything for Christmas this year. In fact,
does that mean we're getting old?
Yeah.
No, right. It just means that we've already owned the things what we've already wanted for Christmas this year.
You know what is a really good show though that came out on DVD that is like a really good choice. I mean, like, I have a huge list of anime that I have stockpiled on Amazon.
You're not going to say Madball 34, are you?
No. But The Nick. Clive Owens' The Nick
came
out on DVD.
That was like one of my favorite shows from last year. Yeah, and season 2 is running right now, and I haven't been able to watch it, and I'm really upset about it because it's really good.
So for holiday gift suggestions, go to electricsister.com and nerdyshow.com. Who knows? You may help bring a big, giant smile on your friend or family member's face.
It certainly makes it easier to pick.
Absolutely.
When we've already picked for you.
Exactly. Let us do the heavy thinking for you. Because we're geeks and we know what people like.
Yes.
So, Andrew, Jonathan, thank you so much for joining me here on this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Where can our listeners find all your stuff?
Well, guys, if you want to join in on the conversation, you can always email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com.
You can also find us.
That was just a cough.
Oh.
You can also... You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we have all of our news and updates, and you can chat with us there. You can find us at soundcloud.com, where you can find our podcast. If you don't listen to our podcast, at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime and or on iTunes. And you can find us everywhere else on the internet, such as Twitter. You can tweet at us at @YoWickedAnime. You can tumble at us at wickedanime.tumblr.com. And you can find us on Twitch now at WickedAnimePlay, where we play some games sometimes. That's not completely up and running yet, but it will be soon. And, of course, our main hub of Wicked Anime, which is our video segment, where you can find us at youtube.com/WickedAnimeReviews.
And during the break, we were talking, and I know you can't really truly reveal what's happening, but some really good things are going to be happening with Wicked Anime video series very soon.
Yes, this is true.
Very, very true. And for our side, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boss of Ash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at themasters@bossofashbrigade.com. You can find me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, on Twitter at king_baby_duck, and on Anime Amino at kingbabyduckesh. Like us on facebook.com/bossofashbrigade and on facebook.com/landofesh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Issues Program, Structure Network, and Geek Aggro. So guys, are there any upcoming conventions that you're going to be going to besides Anime Boston?
No.
Probably the same answer on my end as well.
Sad
indeed. Now to end this week's holiday playlist, we got Michie Tomizawa, better known as the voice actress for Sailor Mars in the original Sailor Moon. This song appears on the Sailor Moon Christmas album, Sailor Moon, Sailor Stars, Merry Christmas. And it's a cover of that classic Wham! Holiday staple, Last Christmas. And you know what? You know what's weird? Like, because I've been watching Rama 1/2, I'm watching a lot of these shows from the early 90s. Have you noticed how a lot of, like, the female idol groups back then were trying to sound like George Michael songs or Wham! Songs back in the day? Mm-hmm. Like, everybody was trying to sound like Wham! Over in Japan.
Right.
While we were going through our grunge rock phase. I just found that to be strange. I don't know if either of you have ever noticed that.
No.
Anyway... That's our show. Until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Andrew from Wicked Anime.
And John from Wicked Anime.
Remind you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard.
But it sure helps.
Yay, we did it in sync.
I gave you my heart, but the very next
Hey guys, this is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.